Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of your New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. How you doing, everybody? I'm Russ Salzburg, and the Big Blue losing streak comes to an end as they come up with a thrilling 27-23 victory over the Baltimore Ravens. And with me, my colleagues today, Roman Oben, Chris Canty, and Imani Toomer. And I will say this, fellas, Odell Beckham certainly turned a lot of heads and a lot of hearts around today.
Oh, yes, he did. I mean, there's a lot of people that are a little upset with the way he's been behaving, but this is what you get when you get one of the best players in the league coming through in big type time situations. I don't care about his histrionics. I don't care about his after the play kind of stuff. But, when you get a guy and get him involved early, he really gets to show what he can do athletically.
Yeah, he definitely came to play today. And you got to give a shout out to the Giants offensive line as well. Without the sack from Terrell Suggs, they kept Eli Manning relatively clean today. Was able to allow those deeper pass patterns to develop. That's where you see the big plays to Odell Beckham Jr., the big plays to Roger Lewis Jr. Those guys really came to play. They needed those explosive plays on offense. Even though the Baltimore Ravens defense made them one-dimensional, the Giants were able to have a lot of success throwing the football against that defense.
Yeah, and as an offensive lineman, it's not always going to be clean. It's been a little ugly inside. You're hoping some big runs. They don't happen. Obviously, the Ravens defense always had a personality, stout, solid up front. They went back and forth, but when they had to make a play, they gave Eli Manning just enough time to get the ball over Beckham and make the biggest play on fourth and one. I was critical on Larry Donnell the play before it.
Yes.
As I was waiting for the flip that we used to see a couple of years ago. He didn't do that. Ran out of bounds, but it set up Odell Beckham. So good job across the board.
Well, fans today are flipping with happiness and for good reason. Again, 27-23 the victory. What do you say we now check in with Paul Dottino, who has a couple of important linebackers with him, Mr. Casillas and Mr. Hersley. Paul?
Well, guys, two of the defensive players who were in on that huge goal line stand there in the second half, which ultimately may or may not have made the difference. Guys, tell me about what you guys did to stop them from getting into the end zone.
Well, they played it to the outside. I guess they wanted to try the right side of our defense, and, we made a good play on it, and it's a good team we played out there. It's a good running back. They had a good scheme for us, and we capitalized and made the plays to end up winning the game.
Incredible how you guys held them out.
Absolutely. Our D-line really got a great push up front, and they couldn't get the ball up the middle. They bounced it out, and man, I'm just glad we got this win.
Well, Kersley, Jonathan Casillas, thank you guys.
Thank you,
baby. Thank you. All right, Paul, thank you very much. Fellas, Giants won the game, and that's great because they just needed to stop the bleeding by any means necessary. But I think had they lost the game, we'd be talking about some calls or non-calls. I mean, that to me were quite frankly shocking. There was a non-call of pass interference on Roger Lewis in the end zone. Giants had to go for a field goal. And the one on Shepard, I mean, we all looked at one another. We looked at it several times. Where was the pass interference?
Yeah, there was some questionable calls by the referees. But as a football player and as a coaching staff, you have to control what you can control. And I thought that some of the calls that Ben McAdoo made showed the sense of urgency for his football team, and I think the players responded to that. You look at him going for it on fourth and down at the end of the second quarter. You're looking for him in the third quarter. He went for it on that fourth and short situation. Him going for it, expressing confidence in his players, I think Lynn played a big role in terms of his players being able to step up and make the plays necessary. They had a sense of urgency, and his players responded by being able to make those plays.
We were all talking, Roman, about that fourth and five or fourth and three when he went for it, and you and I were talking to one another. And I thought that was a gutsy call because if they don't – like we were saying, let the defense make a play, punt the ball. There was three and change left, but to his credit, he went for it. I think Ben realized that his team needed a spark.
No, he did. And at some point, guys, you have to put the trust in the guys in the huddle. Coaches prepare them during the week. We all know that. We all play this game. But at some point, it goes back and forth throughout the course of a game, but you have to put your players in a position to make the critical plays, and they did that. And that's what you learn from the losing. And, coming to this game, three-game losing streak, it hasn't been pretty the last 3 weeks, but the team had to respond. So it's good that they responded well. Next week, they got a bye week. You can feel good going into – now you're right in the middle third of the season. You can start to get some momentum, and maybe the identity that's been McAdoo football team, offensively, defensively, special teams, is starting to gel.
All right, one of the guys who helped respond today was number 80, Victor Cruz. He's standing by with Paul Dottino. Guys?
Well, Victor, it looks like the big play is back in the Giants' offense. So Odell certainly had a couple, and the rest of you guys sprinkled in a few.
Yeah, man, exactly what we needed. We finally got a defense – that let us do some things, that let us open it up a little bit more. So we were happy about that, and we hit our spots.
Now, nobody wants to talk about must wins this early in the season, Victor, but this kind of was a must win.
Yeah, we needed this one. It's not a good feeling going down in the hole under 500. We wanted to get back to 500 and continue to ascend from there. But, you know, happy we got this win. Just want to move on.
Again, some sloppiness, some mistakes, but the fact is you guys gutted it out and fought back and won a last-minute game, which tells you a lot.
Absolutely. It tells a lot about this team, tells a lot about our character. No matter what we're going through, we got to keep on fighting, and that's what we did.
Victor Cruz, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, Paul and Victor, thank you very much. Amani, let me ask you. We got a chance to see the receiving corps today.
Mm-hmm.
You being the all-time Giants leading receiver, your thoughts on what you got to witness today?
Well, I saw Ben McAdoo and the offense make an adjustment. They did not have a running game. They had 38 yards rushing the entire day. What they did was start using their wideouts as running backs, giving them little swing passes, little quick passes, because their offensive line is not getting a push. There's no real running lanes in there. So instead of beating your head against the wall, having these guys, you know, the running backs try to run through the hole, they have them spreading out with the wide outs, with the tight ends, sometimes with the running backs. Very creative, and I really like the adjustment that they made. But if you rush for 38 yards like they did today, like the Giants did today, and have three turnovers and go minus three in the turnovers, you're not going to win many games. So I'm glad they got the win, but there's a lot of improvement that they yet can do.
And I'm sure Ben McAdoo is going to talk to his players about that improvement. But right now, we got to take care of some business, folks. You got to remember to go to Adorama.com/Giants for your chance to win a 5D Mark IV DSLR. Remember, folks, Adorama is the official electronics retailer of the Giants. As we said, Ben McAdoo is coming up, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. Again, the final score, Giants prevail. They stopped their losing streak at 3 with a 27-23 victory over the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, let's check in and hear what I'm sure a happy coach Ben McAdoo has to say about the victory.
Got off to a slow start today. Ended up pushing through, finding a way to win the ball game. Credit to the men in the locker room for hanging in there and playing for each other. We'll open it for questions.
Ben, coach, what's going through your mind when Odell catches that 66-yard?
Score. Put the ball away and score.
Coach, was anything said on the sideline after DRC's pass interference? Looked a little questionable to get the guys to focus on that last offensive set.
Don't look at the scoreboard and just play the play. That's all. You know, rally around each other, play the play. And the guys kept playing.
Was there an explanation for you for the call?
Say that again.
Was there an explanation to you for the penalty?
Yeah, it was PI.
Did you think it was PI?
We'll take a look at it on film. If we don't agree with it, we'll send it in, but we'll take a good look at it on tape and see what we see.
Coach, the last couple of weeks, the offense has been a little bit out of sync. Do you feel like today they finally got back on the same page?
Yeah, I thought, once we settled into the game, started playing with some good tempo and energy. Runs were tough to find. They're good against the run like a lot of teams are in this league. We have to find a way to run it better. Felt we found some rhythm in the passing game. We completed the ball a little bit. You have to eliminate the turnovers. That's a big part of things moving forward. Can't turn the ball over that way and expect to win games week in and week out. So we need to get better there.
How did you feel to get Rose Jr. in the game plan, especially in a scoring play?
Well, Odell was nicked. He was the next man up. Came on in and cashed in on his opportunity.
Coach, you decided to give them the ball to start the game. What was the thought process behind that?
They've been doubling people up, scoring at the end of the half and scoring coming out, and we didn't think that was something we wanted to get into with these guys.
Send a message with your defense, putting them out there first?
I trust this defense. I'm a defensive head coach. I want to get them out there on the field as soon as I can.
How concerned were you with Odell when you kind of leave the game, and what were you being told at that point?
We just moved on. We kept pressing through and pulling through the game. I mean, I don't. When a guy's injured, the next man has to step up and contribute.
Ben, we ask you a million questions about Odell, and a lot of times 9 out of 10 of them are not about football. Can you just for a moment reflect on the talent of the player you have? I mean, maybe evidenced in that final play. I mean,
I think it was on full display this afternoon. Very talented young man. He's been humbled in a lot of instances, and he pushed through some tough times and some injuries today. and he really made us a better football team. He's a lightning bolt, lightning rod for us. He's a great energy source for this team.
How did things change so much? Did that change up the offensive game plan at all?
No, we decided to play with a little more tempo and energy, play a little bit quicker, less formations, just to try to get into some type of rhythm. You know, we were flat there early.
How frustrating are the turnovers as well?
They're not frustrating. You know, mistakes, they don't correct themselves overnight. It takes time. And it looks like this one may take half a season to get it fixed, so we just have to keep working on it.
What did you see from Casillas' tackle on the fourth down goal line play?
We had some guys flying to the football. I didn't see who made the tackle where I was standing, but I just saw a bunch of guys flying to the football playing good goal line defense there.
What did you say about what you saw from Eli and Odell there in the second half? I mean, Odell went for 211 receiving yards in the second half alone. Eli threw for close to 300 yards in the second half.
They had an opportunity to connect. They connected. Some short throws, long runs, and a nice double move there early in the second half, which was nice to see.
You talked about feeling like this offense was about to break out. How does it feel when you see it happen?
Would we score 27 points? It's tough to score 27 points against that defense. You know, it's a good defense. They had some injuries. They were nicked up a little bit, but so were we. And you have to play through those 27 points. That's our target each and every week. You know, like I told the players on offense, we scored 27 points. I shouldn't have any complaints, but I will.
On the last touchdown, where does Odell fit in the progression of the last score?
Number one.
You're down 10-0, I think, within 8 minutes, and you've lost three straight. How did you feel like where your team was at that point, the way they responded?
We don't watch the scoreboard. We're worried about playing the next play. We're not worried about the scoreboard. We got to play the game.
So it doesn't creep into their mindset at all?
It shouldn't. Not, it doesn't mind.
What, if anything, changed for you in the second half? I mean, you have so little success early. I mean, you get a first down to 20-plus minutes, and you have a huge second half.
We blocked them well. We threw the ball well. We caught the ball well. That changed.
So a lot of criticism surrounding Eli the past couple of weeks about it. His perceived struggles. What did you see out of him in this game? 400 yards. Really seemed like he had total command of the game.
You know, he was the same guy on the sideline in between series that he always is. His feet looked like they were settled. Pass protection was good, and guys were getting open, and he was hitting them.
What'd you think of how would you evaluate the running game today, your running game?
I'd have to look at the numbers. Haven't really looked at the numbers yet. We had some attempts, which is always good to have. Again, tough run defense. We have to find a way to knock a hole in it a little bit better. And I have confidence that we'll get that fixed.
What happened on Odell's other touchdown, the 75-yarder?
That was a nice throw and catch off of a double move.
Is that a route you guys use often? Looks like you kind of, you know, sat down and then spun off. Is that the way it's kind of drawn up?
It's been the offense a little while. 1989, maybe. But it's been in the offense a little while.
You had a lot of teams that were playing safeties on top of Odell. His first touchdown, it looked like they had a different formation. So was it something you guys put in differently, given the way the teams have been defending you? Or is that, just like you said, something that's always been in your play?
It was an adjustment during the course of the game. They were playing some single high safety, but they were tilting his way like a lot of teams do. But, again, they came out. They were having success early, and they stuck with their plan. We had to adjust. I thought we made some nice adjustments. But, again, give credit to the players.
Take one more.
Do you feel that with all the discussion about the offense the past couple of weeks, that maybe what the defense has done in holding teams 3 points a lot, getting off the field in spots, has been overlooked?
I think the defense is playing well in spots. You know, it was great to see the goal line stand today. That was huge in the game. They fought through some penalties, didn't look at the scoreboard, and that was encouraging to see. Thank you.
All right, well, that was head coach Ben McAdoo, and, you know, coach leads me into what I wanted to say. Listen. Odell Beckham Jr. was nothing short of spectacular today. Everybody would agree who watched it. But to me, the play of the season thus far, this young season for the Giants, had to be that hold on fourth down.
Absolutely. The goal line stand really changed momentum for this football team. After they gave up the big play, the 70-yarder to Mike Wallace, being able to find a way to stop those guys down in the red zone. At that point, the game was 13-17. Holding those guys, a questionable decision by John Harbaugh to go for it on fourth down. The Giants were able to get that stop, able to move the ball out, and then be able to punt it and change field position. That was huge.
Yeah, and when you look at that play, that fourth and one, I always look at it as an offensive player. I'm saying the offensive guy didn't reach him right. He aimed improperly, but that was textbook football. That's why you, if any kid was watching that play, that's why you hit the back and shuffle down the line, you shed the blocker, then you go make a play on fourth and one. Herzl go over the top with a little last-minute push. I mean, that was perfect football. And honestly, I haven't seen a linebacker the Giants make that kind of play consistently, probably since Antonio Pierce. And no disrespect to anyone who's played the position the last 5 years, but when you revamp that roster and you get these new guys in, I mean, that's the kind of play you expect to see. And that's Giants football, especially on a day when you had alumni guys out there and guys that played in those 80s and 90s teams. So it was good to see that type of football.
And when we were watching the game, we were up in the press box, and we're thinking early on in the second, in the first half, that team in purple was pushing around the big blue. They were more physical, and that goal line stand signified the Giants finally getting up off the mat and saying, "Look, we're not going to take it anymore." And from that point on and to the rest of the game, I think they really started being more physical, which ended up making everything else possible in the rest of the football game.
It's a chess match. Yeah. Definitely a chess match.
Well, like we were saying, it is, up to this point, the Giants' play of the year. All right, folks, got to take care of some business for us. Guests of our post-game show here on MSG receive a gift certificate to the one and only Ben & Jack's. Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. It's located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. We're talking about from the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere. Again, Ben & Jack's will surpass all expectations of what a steakhouse should be. A lot more coming up. Much more player reaction. Stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG. All right, once again, welcome back, folks. The Giants Post Game Live presented to you by Mercedes-Benz. And there you see some Giants alumni. It was alumni weekend. And, hey, what better way for them to celebrate with the stoppage of a three-game losing streak and a 27-23 Giants victory. Speaking of the victory, let's talk to another guy who was part of it. Let's go down to Paul Dottino, standing by live with rookie wide receiver number 87, Sterling Shepard.
Appreciate it, big dog.
The fans are having a lot of fun down here in the Coach's Club with Giants rookie receiver Sterling Shepard. Sterling, congratulations on the victory. And, you know, you guys were able to hit some big plays in the passing game today. Ravens came in playing a different scheme schematically in that secondary than what you've seen the last couple of weeks. Could you explain that to the folks?
Yeah, I mean, the past couple of weeks we've been seeing a lot of cover two. But, you know, they got into a little bit of cover one, which we like a lot. And, you know, we were able to hit the shots whenever we needed and whenever they were in cover one.
Talk to me, if you can, a little bit about the mentality of this team. Three-game losing streak, a lot of things going against you today, but you continued to scrap and scrap and scrap until you pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, we were at home. We wanted to give the fans a good show. And, you know, the last few weeks have been going a little rough for us, but we said that ended today, and we were able to get a big win out of here. A
couple of fourth-down opportunities were clutch for this team, and, you know, Coach obviously shown confidence in this offense, despite the slump, that you guys would be able to execute when you needed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the coaches had a good game plan for us. It was just a matter of us going out and executing it, and, you know, we had a great week of practice, so we were able to come out and execute.
All right, so can one game like this spark this offense and get you guys where you have to be? I asked you during the week about a slump. You said, oh, it's all right. It's only a slump.
Yeah. We'll be all right. We came out of it, and I see us going uphill from here.
All right, Sterling Shepard, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. You know, Paul asked the question, can one game get it going? I don't think it turns everything around, but this is an emotion. Football is as emotional a game as any sport is. And believe me, they needed to stop the bleeding because the natives get restless. Everybody gets restless. No, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, football is a chess match. You go back and forth, and everything's not perfect. And we talked about Earl Beckham earlier. I mean, first series of the game, he fumbles the ball and then gives the Ravens. I mean, it's 10-0 before you know it. But again, Shepard, rookie, fighting his butt off. I mean, good receiving core. I mean, these are things that they're still building a football team here. You've got the identity that's built early in the season. Middle of the season now, you got what kind of character does this team have. And then I think later down the stretch, November, December, we'll see where's the integrity. What are they playing for in January? So this is just another one of the building blocks, but it's good to have guys like Sterling Shepard. And I think with this receiving core to him, you don't know who's going to be hot. I mean, obviously, today was Odell's day, and you got Cruz, and you got the rookie free agent rookie. I mean, you've got a lot of weapons now that when everything comes together, I think this could be a spectacular offense. And you can get away from the criticism that we've had the last 3 weeks.
But this is an example of why teams run cover two. Because cover two, basically, it doubles the outside receivers and forces you to do different things and forces you not to, to the, forces the offense not to its strength, which is his wideouts on the outside. They went cover one this week, which is very daring. I mean, it's you're playing a single high safety. You got man-to-man on all the receivers. That gives plays right into the strength of the Giants.
So somebody's going to be open.
But what I anticipate in the future is there's going to be more teams playing cover two and less playing cover one. So they still have the problems that they had last week, that they're going to have to get more production out of that tight end position, more production out of the running game, and more production out of guys like Shepard in that slot trying to open up the middle of the field in cover two.
All right. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of room for improvement. But one of the things I do like is the improvement of pass protection for that Giants offensive line. Yep. They were able to give Eli Manning some time to operate. And we all know that when he has time to operate, he can be a dangerous passer from the pocket. Seeing them utilize that quick passing game as a part of their running game, also being able to stretch the field, do some things down the field with double moves, deeper patterns and routes. I think that's something that the Giants can build on moving forward. Also, it helps with the momentum for this football team. Being able to get a win, get things turned around, now all of a sudden you got the London trip. If they're able to go ahead and get a win out there, they go into the bye week feeling pretty good about themselves.
And I don't mind telling everybody, it's a lot easier doing a post-game show coming off of a victory than three losses in a row. That is for darn sure. And we've had a share of those over the past 3 years. Again, 27-23, Giants prevail. They improved their record to 3-3. We got a lot more coming up. We'll be hearing from Landon Collins when we come back, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG. And once again, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. Once again, your final score, Giants prevail by the score of 27-23 over the Baltimore Ravens, improving their record to 3-3. What do you say we go right down to hear what number 21 safety Landon Collins had to say at the podium?
I mean, the ref made the call that he played, I mean, that he saw. As a defensive player, we all know that. I mean, we see other things and we see a different way. But on the other hand, I mean, the ref's going to make the call. I mean, we got to live with it and play after that.
How much does a victory like that do to reinvigorate the confidence in the locker room?
It does it a lot. I mean, it gives us a momentum, give us a boost, make us fight even more and make us even learn and trust that we have the confidence in each other to finish the game.
But what's the biggest difference for you guys in between the first half and the second half?
Confidence that we was gonna come out and play our best game. I mean, come out and play strong and come out with the win. I mean, that's the first mindset. I mean, I don't know. We were trying to just make a force that we was going to make sure we tackled them, make sure they fell us, and know that we was going to make sure they stop and not catch deep balls. I mean, they caught a few, but they had to make sure they go get it, you know?
What was your impression of going second place?
Oh, man, that's what we built for. That's the defense we made. I mean, we put all this money into it. That's what we want out of it, you know?
You guys talk a lot about flushing plays that don't go your way. You know, you had to pass interference on DRC, the roughing the pass on Oa. So what do you guys do to just maintain your poise, especially when you get the lead on that questionable call?
Just turn the page. I mean, we got a dominant offense that we have a lot of trust in, and we know we have the confidence that they're going to march the ball down the field and put us back in the game. And we, as a defense, we're going to stop them, even though we get bad calls sometimes. We fight all the way to the end.
Okay, once again, the Giants prevail by the score of 27-23. improved their record to 3-3. We're talking about, to a defensive player over there. Let's talk to a defensive player over here. I mean, Landon Collins, when he made that sack, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, he was all over the place. And shout out to Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. Really dialed up some creative blitzes, some run blitzes, some blitzes in the passing game. Made Joe Flacco uncomfortable all day long. Only two sacks, but six quarterback hits. The defense as a whole, seven tackles for loss. So they were able to throw the Ravens in negative run plays and negative plays in the passing game. That's something that kept those guys from being on schedule. Really didn't allow the Ravens to have any kind of momentum, build any kind of momentum on the offensive side of the ball. They weren't able to put together drives, and I think that was the difference in terms of the Giants being able to neutralize that Baltimore Ravens offense.
Yeah, and it wasn't pretty statistically. This defense was on the field for 35 minutes, 25 first downs. I mean, they obviously they held them under 49. Under 400 yards, which is good in today's NFL. But, again, this was a game where they played winning defense. Again, you talk about the sacks haven't been there, some of those things. But this is a Joe Flacco that we know the kind of arm he has in this league. You play with him. You were teammates for 3 years. And you just – they made the plays when they were supposed to make him at the right critical times. Again, winning defense, winning football. And when they look at that film tomorrow, they can learn from this. It's a different meeting room when you win. You say, oh, well, we can fix that versus, man, this costs the game. This costs the game. So it's good. At least we can be positive and objective going forward.
You know, Amani, a lot of talk was made, and rightfully so, because of all the money that was spent in the offseason, in particular to improve the defense. Olivier Vernon, Snacks Harrison. The guy who got the least of the fame, if you will, the notoriety of it, was Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, and he's been an absolute killer. He's been one of their best players, Big Blue's best players all season long.
Oh, definitely. He has been. You know, he got beat deep today, but he, you know, a lot of PBUs, a lot of up making tackles. He was all over the place. And especially when the team came out slow, like Ben McAdoo talked about earlier, he was the guy who was kind of the energizer bunny, the jackrabbit for the team. And then you got to look at, you know, Landon Collins as well. We talked about him earlier, what he did with the blitzes. But you got to look at how he's tackling now. I mean, him coming downhill, making tackles is really helping this defense, and also Jonathan Casillas' way he, you know, is making tackles. This is one thing that has improved over the year that I've seen so far in this defense is the fact that they're tackling much better the open field, and that's paying off. They held the Ravens to 28% on third down. You hold a team to 28% on third down, you're going to do pretty well in this league.
All right, well, we're still waiting to hear what quarterback Eli Manning has to say. He'll be coming up shortly. But right now, what do you say we take a look at Giants programming coming up this week on MSG?
Yeah, I thought that was what we needed. And, you know, coach did a good job just saying, hey, we're going to go fast and get up there and get the ball snapped. And I think that helps out our offensive line, you know, gets our receivers going, gives us plenty of time to see what the defense is doing, get the good plays, better plays. So, went against a good defense and, you know, guys, you know, we all hit a couple big plays. And, you know, so I think it was fun. It's fun to get out there and see our guys, making the plays that we expect them to do, and it was a big win for us.
Eli, of course, a win comes first, but you achieved some personal history today. You know, you joined the 300 touchdown club. You passed Elway in the process. You passed Drew Bledsoe in completions. How does it feel to make your name alongside these NFL legends?
You know, my focus is really just on this season, on this team. You know, going out there getting a win. So when I'm done playing, I'll look back and see where I stand, maybe or maybe not. I don't know, but. You know, my focus is getting this win, getting this season back on track and getting to where we want to get this year.
What's it like watching the way Odell played today, and especially that second half you had?
Yeah, that was fun. That's what we expect him to do. And, we got some looks that we wanted, and we're able to get to a couple plays that we've kind of had on the shelf for a few weeks. We just never, you know, quite haven't got the looks that we wanted to get to him, and today we got some of those and then converted on them. So it was good to see him make some big time plays in crucial moments. You know, none better than just catching a slant and going, 67 yards or for a touchdown to get the game winning play.
Tell
through that first one where he kind of sat down and then spun off it.
Yeah, just a double move off a play we run, a pretty good bit, and so finally got a look that we could get to it. So tried to move the safety left a little bit and came back to him. He had good patience, kind of waiting on my eyes, and kind of lulled the corner to sleep, and then did a little whirly bird out of it, and able to hit him in stride, make the corner miss, and go score the touchdown. So big play at that moment.
How do you usually run the double move off it, Jeff?
It's kind of one of those we've had on the shelf for 3 or 4 weeks. Just haven't got the look that we wanted to get to that, and finally got it today.
How did it feel to have Roger Lewis Jr. get involved in the offense? Yeah. And get his first NFL grab, which also happened to be a touchdown.
Yeah, it was good to get Roger. He's been doing a good job. Did some good things training camp and early on, and kind of waiting for his opportunity to get in there, and had some things where he was going to get in anyway with some, four receiver stuff. But, today he pops in there and, all of a sudden, good job knowing the offense, knowing the plays, not really a play we've run a whole lot, really put it in this week where he stepped up, knew what to do, did a good job beating man coverage and making a catch, getting the touchdown. So a big play at that time on a third down conversion and a touchdown.
All right. Well, you heard Eli Manning say that they got the looks that they wanted today to get. They got it today, and the end result being they're looking a whole lot better than they did last week and the 2 weeks prior to that.
Yeah, it's looking a lot more like Coach McAdoo wants it to look. He was talking the last few weeks about this team being able to find completions on the offensive side of the ball. They weren't completing enough passes today. Eli Manning with 32 completions. I think that's the direction that they want to go. Getting the ball into the hands of their playmakers, letting those guys do the heavy lifting. Odell Beckham with the two long catch and run plays, the 66-yarder, the 43-yarder. I think it's more of what this offense is going to look like. Eli Manning hitting that back foot, getting the ball out on time to those guys in space, letting them do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they want to do. But the problem is they're not going to receive single high coverage every week, and they got to be able to come up with more answers. But obviously they look good this week. This is definitely a completion percentage offense where they want the ball out of Eli's hand quickly to see what they could do with the receivers and the talent on the outside. And it's a good plan. It's very contingent upon what defense is playing against them.
Yeah, and obviously, Monty, you play with Eli. You've caught some touchdowns from him, and I think the reason he's successful because he focuses on the moment, the now, the next play. It was 189 starts, regular season 200. He's passing someone every other week, it seems like, the more games he starts. But, again, he's focused on this team, this 2016 identity, and that's why he's a great quarterback, and that's why you want a consistent quarterback at that position if you can for 10 years. With the quarterback positions around this league, it's good to have the same guy every Sunday for 200 games, and that's a good thing for this organization.
All right, well, coming up, we're going to hear from the guy Eli spent a lot of time throwing to today for the tune of 222 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's going to be Odell Beckham Jr. And remember, folks, you are watching Giants Post Game Live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of your New York Giants.
I caught the slant. I didn't know how close the defender was. First of all, Eli changed the play. He had a play on, kind of saw some different coverages. They kept messing with him. He changed the play. I mean, put me in perfect position to run a slant. I catch it, and I see one safety, and he's kind of angling towards the right. And I know that for somebody to be able to open the hips and run at the same time and run me down, they're going to be very fast. So I just decided I went left, and it all worked out.
Game feel to you after everything you had to deal with the first few weeks?
It felt great. It's just kind of an example of what God can do for you. He's put me on this platform and in position to do the things like this. He's put me there for the ups and the downs to learn and to grow from him. And really, there's going to be a lot more downs. There's going to be a lot more ups, but I trust in him. And collectively as a team, we fought today for every bit of it. First play, come out, fumble. What are we going to do now? How are we going to overcome adversity? And we did that. So now you just got to keep building on it. We've had some tough losses. There's definitely going to be things to correct from this film. There's going to be things to watch. So you just keep it moving. Just keep it moving, keep improving.
The offense. Odell was certainly keeping it moving today. 222 yards, 8 grabs, and 2 touchdowns. And Amani, is there anything that you could – I mean, he was happy today.
Yeah.
You know, a lot has been bothering him. As a veteran, the all-time leading receiver on the Giants, could you offer some advice to him about just how to handle everything?
I think he's handling it pretty well. I mean, the fact that, you know, he's playing good. He played well this week amongst all the stuff that happened. You know, some people in this city would not handle it that well. He's obviously shook it off and moved forward. This is something that we haven't really seen in Odell, though, today. This was his first kind of walk-off moment where he took over a game and the team actually won. And so I think this is another step, another box that you can check on how good Odell really is. You know, he's a game-breaking receiver. We all know that. But now we know he is a game-winning receiver. And I think that's one thing that most receivers want to be known for more than just the yards. They want to be known to dominate football games like he did today.
Well, you know what? Receivers coach Adam Henry said earlier this week when asked about Odell, he said, nothing but a little good old vitamin W will help him and everybody else, and vitamin W was certainly the elixir today. All right, what do you say we now go back down to Paul Dottino, standing by, or he spoke earlier with Justin Pugh.
Okay, guys, Justin, we heard all week about the Ravens being a black and blue kind of team, a physical team. You look pretty tired right now as we sit here. Just how nasty and physical was it out there?
I mean, hats off to them. They're a tough team. My helmet came off at one point. I got punched in the face, so I got a little bit of a fat lip right now. Like I said, hats off to them. They played tough. Love the resiliency of our team. Well, you know, obviously the game did not start, probably worst-case scenario start for us. And we bounced back. So I'm proud of everyone, the way they played and the way we finished.
You talk about the bounce back. All right, the running game really didn't get going. Yep. A lot of troubles again trying to move the ball on the ground. But the pass protection was enough that Eli was able to make the big plays you needed to win.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking away something. We got to expose them somewhere else. And I think we did that. I think we were able to get the ball deep. Obviously, over the top to Odell a few times was beautiful for us. So, like I say, any way you can win a game, you got to go out and get it done that way. And they were coming in, bringing some pressures. They were moving the line around and opened up some things down the field. We got some great playmakers on the outside, so get them the ball.
Yeah, good for them to help bail you guys out for leaving some points on the board. First and goal from the one, had to settle for three. That can be usually a dangerous situation.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, our defense also stopped them down there as well.
No question.
So, hats off to our defense. The fans were loud after that one call. I mean, I never heard this place so adamant one way. You know, I would have been scared to have been one of these officials.
That's Jersey for you, Justin. That's Jersey.
I've come to learn that. So, hats off to all the fans that were out here today. You guys were awesome.
Justin Pugh, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Guys, back to you.
All right, Paul. Thank you very much. You know, you got to love – here's a big – offensive lineman apologizing because he's got a fat lip. I mean, you play football.
Yeah. That's what I heard Rose saying during the interview. But one of the things that Justin Pugh said, you know, the game couldn't have started worse for the New York Giants. You have the turnover early. You're down 10-0 in a hurry. The offense was stagnant. I mean, it was rough. The Boo Birds came out a little bit here in MetLife Stadium. But the Giants' offense was resilient. They just kept plugging away. Putting together plays here or there, and they were able to build some momentum, establish some consistency in terms of how they're operating. They went up tempo a little bit against that Ravens defense, caught those guys off guard, and that ultimately translated into them being able to manufacture some points, being able to keep the middle of that pocket clean so Eli could step up and operate. That was huge for this team. It's something that they can build on, a performance that they can build on. It wasn't pretty. They need to improve some things, particularly the run game at the point of attack, generating movement, but all in all, it's something to build on.
All right, well, we got our final segment coming up, but right now we've got a reminder for you, folks. Don't forget to be watching Giants Live. That's this Tuesday, this time at 10 p.m., when we'll be featuring the Jackrabbit, one Janoris Jenkins.
Hey, Giants fans, I'm here with Jackrabbit. He's going to show us some of his best moves, especially when it comes to press man at the line. I got you on the outside. What about those receivers that try and go give you an outside head move to break back in?
You know, he's going to try to give you something at the top to slow you down.
Okay.
Once he give you that foot, you know he can't break that way in.
He can't break that way.
Go that way.
Don't bite the cheese.
Boom, don't bite it. So I go opposite. Boom.
Bam.
And now ride for 3 yards at least.
And there you see the current NFC East standings. Cowboys atop at 4-1. They're playing right now in Green Bay, followed by Washington. Winners over the Eagles today at 4-2. Eagles at 3-2. And the Giants, with their win today, stops the losing streak. They are at 3-3. And again, the whole season's not turned around, but we would say win by any means necessary. Just in light of the trip coming up, it just was very important to be feeling good about themselves.
Well, just for momentum only. You work hard during the week. Everybody puts in the same amount of hours during the week, film time. You know, you trust guys at home are thinking about the game. But, again, where they are now, I think this is the part of the season where you have to start to separate yourself, because you don't want a dogfight in December trying to get to 9-7, hoping somebody else loses, including the Lakers, just for you to get in the playoffs. So, again, we've all heard this in the locker room. Let the division take care of itself. Let the NFC take it, but we got to take care of our own business. So that's what this team has to do. Win next week, bye week, come back, and really get after it. And everyone in the division has one loss, so that's going to take care of itself. But I think to go to the playoffs, you've got to win the division. They've never been a clear-cut 14-2 team in the NFC East ever. I don't know the last time that happened, but, again, you got to take care of your business, and you've got to look forward.
And this division right now, Imani, is looking like it's going to be a sardine can. I realize there's a lot more to be played. We're not at the midway mark yet, but that's the NFC East. It's pretty much always been that way, and it certainly is looking that way right now.
It is, and when I look at this division and I see how close every team is pretty much within one game with having to play the other teams in the division again. I just say I would go with the team with the best quarterback, and I think the Giants are in position with the best quarterback who's used to going deep in these types of situations. You know, there's a lot of rookie quarterbacks that are playing well early, but we all know about the rookie wall.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Giants fan. The fact that we held serve, we're 3-3, and now, you know, going to London, you get an opportunity to even better that by one.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think it's important that they try to build momentum going into that bye week. I think this was a start, being able to get this win here today at home. Now you're on the road in London against the LA Rams. That's going to be a challenge, but certainly you got to keep guys focused on the task at hand, which is going out there for a business trip to be able to beat the Rams and get to 4-3, get over 500. You're not at a point right now in the season, like you said, Ro, you don't want to concede the division. So to keep pace with those other teams, the Redskins, the Cowboys, they've got to find a way to get that win and go into the bye week over 500.
And folks, just remember that business week, that business trip starts real early, because Giants travel across the pond to London to face the LA Rams in Wembley Stadium. Game time is 9:30. And then, as always, immediately following, it's going to be Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG. See you next week.